Again, want to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Last Sunday I shared on Living in Christ and I titled it Part 1. This morning we're again Living in Christ Part 2. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And this morning I'm going to use a lot of scripture, and I'd really like for you to follow along if you have your Bibles with you. A lot of scripture that we want to look into this morning, and it'd just really help if you have that with you that you can see for yourself. If you found Ephesians 5, you want to read verse 1 and 2, I'd like for you to stand. And we're going to read this together. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God." I'd like for you to join with me. Let's read it together. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Thank you. You may be seated. Marcus, I appreciated your testimony this morning, talking about following. This is where we're going to go this morning. We're going to talk about following God, about being followers. I've got a saying up here this morning that says, following Christ is not a casual or occasional practice, but a continuous commitment and way of life that applies at all times and in all places. Following Christ is not a one-time thing. It's not we choose to follow Him, we live how we want to live, and we're still following. That's not following Christ. Following Christ is a daily commitment. It's a daily walk. What does the word follow mean? It says there, "Be ye therefore followers of God." Actually, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to Ephesians 4, where we were at last Sunday. I want to read the last two verses just to kind of give us a little bit of a setting where we're at here. It says in verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." These are a few things that as a Christian we can't have in our hearts. We can't have in our lives. Then it says in verse 32, he says, "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted," this is how we are to be today as Christians, "kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." And then he comes into the verses that we're going to look at today. By the way, I got on here verse 1 through 20. We're not going to do that this morning. That was my initial plan, to go all the way through verse 20. We're going to make it through verse 2 this morning, I believe. So we'll leave the rest of it for another time. "Be ye therefore followers of God." What does it mean to be a follower? A follower is an imitator. You remember as children, I don't know if you did this or not, I'm guessing you probably did. When we were in school as children, we would walk, play the game, follow the leader. The one who was in the front always had it made. He could do whatever he wanted to, and everybody had to follow him. If you were in line, you wanted to do exactly as the guy in front of you did. Your friends might make fun of you if you don't. If the guy in front of you stuck out his arm, you want to stick out your arm. If he turned around, you want to turn around. If he stuck out his leg, you want it to do exactly as he did. You want it to be a follower, an imitator. He says, therefore, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." Be imitators. Live like Jesus lived, like He's asking you to live. To imitate is to make or to do something the same way. The same thing as someone, to copy someone's behavior. Did you know today you are an imitator of somebody? You're an imitator of somebody here in this life. You have people that you look up to, that you like to follow. I have people I look up to, I want to follow. But there's also another imitation I want us to think about. And that is, we are either imitators of God or we're imitators of Satan. That strikes deep inside my heart. That gives me chills. I don't know if it gives you chills or not. You're one or the other. There's no halfway. We're going to come to that a little bit later. There's no halfway. You're either a follower of God, imitator of God, or you're an imitator of Satan. I want us to think about that this morning. Take a little bit of time and review your life. Where am I at? Where was I at this week? Can I honestly say this week that I was an imitator of God? I sure hope so. Imitator of God. First scripture I want to go to is 1 Peter chapter 2. And if you got your Bibles, please turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. We're going to read through verse 24. For even hereunto were ye called. He's talking here in the previous verses here about persecution. I don't really like this verse. Let's be honest. When he talks about persecution, I don't really like that. But he says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us as an example that ye should follow in his steps. And we're going to look a little bit more how Christ suffered for us. Who did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he was reproached, he was defamed, he was slandered. He reviled not again. He didn't kick back. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. There's no retaliation here. There's no revenge sought here. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, verse 24 there, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. He suffered for us. We are to follow his example. Even though he had no sin, he was willing to take our sins upon himself. Why? So that we could be his inheritance. I've said that before. You and I are his inheritance. Yeah, he's offering us inheritance with him in glory. But he came to redeem us, to take us back as an inheritance. Verse 23 shows his meek spirit. Let me ask you a question this morning. As a Christian, do you have rights? Do I have rights? What's your thoughts? Do we have rights as Christians? I see somebody shaking their head, somebody nodding their head. Did Jesus have rights? Yeah. But what did he do with those rights? What did Jesus do with the rights that he had? He laid them down. Followers, imitators. What are we to do with our rights that we have? Fight back? Jesus says, I laid mine down. And I believe if we're going to be followers of Jesus, there are rights that, yes, maybe we have, but we lay them down for the sake of the cross. We lay them down because Jesus asked us to lay them down. Jesus laid down everything. Everything to please His Father. And to make a way for us to spend eternity with Him in glory. What if Jesus would not have laid down His rights? You and I would sit here this morning with absolutely no hope. If He would not have laid down His rights and took the cross for us, you and I would have no hope. But because He was willing to do that, we have a beautiful future ahead of us if we're walking with Him. If we're willing to let go of our own rights and follow Him like He asked us to, be imitators of Him. Turn to Mark 1, verse 16. Mark 1, verse 16 says, Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Here we have two men. They're in their boat. The way they fished back then was not with fishing poles. They had their nets. They would throw out their nets and they would drop it down and hopefully bring in a whole bunch of fish. Here we have Simon and Andrew. They're in their boat and they're fishing. This was their living. Jesus said unto them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Here he's offering something to them. He's saying, "Come follow me. I'm going to show you a greater, a better way to fish than what you're fishing right now." Let's remember, this was their livelihood. This was what they did to make a living. Verse 18 says, "And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him." Straightway means immediately. There was no hesitation. Immediately they forsook their nets. Forsook means to abandon. They let go of their job and followed him. To follow here is talking about being in the same way. It's talking about being in the same steps as their leader, as Jesus. They quickly, completely, obediently followed. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. They were in another ship, I believe, mending their nets a little bit further. Straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. Maybe it doesn't look like this was quite as much for them, but then on the other hand, they left dad behind. They left the servants behind and they followed. Jesus called 12 men. I have a book at home I want to read. I haven't finished. I started, but I didn't finish reading it yet. But it talks about 12 men who changed the world. Jesus called 12 men. If those men would not have been obedient to him, what would have happened? These men, because of their obedience to Christ, changed the world. Study the disciples sometimes. What all happened? They were willing to suffer. There was only one of them, I believe, that did not die the death of a martyr. I believe every one of them died the death of the martyr except one. And I can't remember. I think it's Peter, but I'm not sure. No, it was John. I believe it was John that didn't die a death of the martyr. Peter, actually. I believe it was him who said, "I'm not worthy to suffer like Christ. Crucify me upside down." That was his love. Turn to Luke 9. We're going to look at verse 57 in Luke 9. It says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And if we look at some of the other Gospels, it says here, this man was a scribe. Who were the scribes? The scribes were very well educated people. They knew Scripture in and out. They protected Scripture. They would write the Old Testament. They would count the words, making sure everything was in place. They knew Scripture. They knew exactly what was in Scripture. But they were a kind of people that followed to the T. It wasn't so much in their hearts. It was following exactly what the law said. They were good with that. Here was a scribe. He said, "Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." I can't help but think Jesus saw his heart. Jesus saw where he really was. Jesus answered him back this way. He said, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Are you still willing to follow me? I don't even have a home. I don't have a place to put my head to sleep at night. Are you still willing to follow me? And he said unto another, this is Jesus now, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." And Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." What excuse do I have to not follow God? Maybe I'm not going to say it like this. Maybe I'm not going to say, but I have a job. I can't give it up. I have family. I can't give it up. Maybe we're not willing to say it exactly that way. But are we willing to follow when He calls us? Verse 61, "And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." What was happening here? What's happening in my life today? When Jesus asked me to follow Him, I say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow." this far, but there's a certain amount of things, Lord, that you can't have. I have a divided heart. We cannot serve God with a divided heart. He won't accept that. He's a jealous God. He wants an undivided heart, undivided devotion. Everything. We give Him everything. Lot's wife, when they left Sodom, she looked back. She hadn't let it all go, did she? She wasn't willing to give everything. Yeah, her body was moving in the direction she needed to go, but her heart never went with her. I believe her heart stayed in Sodom. We should have probably turned there and looked at it. But unless we have sold out completely, are willing to lay aside all to be followers, we have a divided heart. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is there anything that you or I are willing to trade for the kingdom of God? Is there anything in my life that I'm willing to trade for the kingdom of God? Am I willing to hang on to something and miss the kingdom? We could probably go down and name a whole bunch of things that are probably issues in our life today in our world. We're not going to do that. But I challenge you, search your own heart this morning. Is there anything that you're willing to trade off? Turn to Mark 10. We're going to look at verse 17. And I even kind of hate hesitating going to this scripture because I know we've talked different times about finances. And I'm not going to pound hard on this morning. But I want you to see the scripture. Verse 17 of Mark 10, he says, "And when he was going forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.' And he was sad at that saying, and went away grief, for he had great possessions." It wasn't the money that was his problem here. We look at that, and we can think it was the money. But I don't believe it was the money that was the problem here. I believe it was his love for anything outside of the Father. Here he talks about his wealth. But I want to ask us this morning, maybe we don't have wealth. I think every one of us here has wealth, if we really want to admit it. But maybe we don't have wealth. I don't think he's pointing specifically at just money here. Anything that we hold higher than God, he says we need to let go of. Matthew 7:13, I'm just going to read this really quick. 13 to 14 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The straight gate here, he's talking about a narrow gate. I have to think of the picture that I saw. Many of you have probably seen this picture of the two ways. We have one way that is broad. It looks good. There's so much stuff on this way that looks so exciting and fun. It looks easy to walk, and it is. But there's also another one that says narrow is the way. A narrow road. It's a narrow gate. It's not quite as easy to walk. But we have somebody with us on this road that we don't have on the Broadway. There looks like there's some things out ahead of us. But Jesus says if we ask Him, He will help us through these issues, through these difficulties in life. Let's go to verse 2 of Ephesians here, 5. Go back to Ephesians 5. Let's go to verse 2. Here he says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Walk in love as he walked. Can I walk in love if I don't first of all have his love in my heart? No. We can make a show of it, but we need his love to walk. We need his love in our hearts to walk with his love. I cannot give something I don't possess. So what is it to love? Is it to put others first? These are just basics of today. This isn't really getting deep into anything theological or whatever. This is just basics of today. To love is to put others first. Maybe it's changing my schedule to fit the needs of those that I'm in contact with. They're going to take second place, my needs, if I really love others. Maybe God's going to ask me to move because of love for somebody that I don't even know. Maybe He's got something in my heart. He says, "I want you to go serve elsewhere to share the love of God with others." Maybe there are people that I'd rather not be around. They may be in a third world country. They may not have hot showers. They may not have food to eat like I have here. Maybe He's asking us to go there to love them. Then we come to a difficult one. How about giving my life for the brotherhood? When I thought about this, I didn't write it down because I didn't think that was that important to share. We don't have to give our lives. But then I came across some verses that changed my thinking. Turn to John 15. We're going to look at verse 12. Now I want us to think about this today. No, we live in a time where we don't have to literally go out and give our lives for the brother. But did you know that's happening in the world today? There are men that are giving their lives for the sake of Christ today for people that are not their brothers. They're still willing to follow. John 15 verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Let me read 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. For 33 years Jesus was on this earth, doing the will of the Father, laying down His life for the Father. At the end of those 33 years, He laid down His life for us. He went to the cross for us. What if we practice laying down our lives for the brothers like He's asking us here? And when I say what if, I'm not saying that's not happening amongst us, because I believe it is. But what if we all did that with an open heart every week? Would it change our church? I'm saying that to myself as much as to anybody else, because I have schedules too. I have my things I want to do. But am I willing to lay down my wants, my needs for the brotherhood? John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." I give my time, my care, my labor, my prayers, my substance. The world is going to see whether we're fake or not, whether we're real imitators, or whether we're just an imitation. Whether we're fake or not. They're going to see it by our love. Am I so in love with Christ that I can't hide my identity? Titus 2:14 says, "Who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." His plan was to bring us redemption, to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us a peculiar people. Peculiar means to be His own. Does that ring clear in your hearts? He came to redeem us from sin, a people that didn't love Him, to make us His own. That's love. We are to imitate His love. We're going to be full of good works. That's not our saving power, but yet we are to be full of good works. I'd like for you to turn to one more scripture, Matthew 16. Many times we hear people talk about taking up our cross. Taking up our cross, denying ourselves and following Him. That's this scripture. What does it mean to take up our cross? Verse 24, Matthew 16 says, "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, if any man will follow Me, let him deny himself, disown himself, and take up his cross and follow Me." Let's picture for a minute Jesus going up the hill of Calvary. He has that beam of the cross laid on His shoulders. In the Bible times where Jesus was at, the cross was a picture of death. The cross was a picture of suffering. We've kind of lost that today. We have the cross here. We have different things with the cross on it. And we don't really look at it as suffering. We look at it as victory. And it was. It is. But when you looked at the cross at the time of Jesus here, it was a sign of death. Jesus took that cross on Himself and He was walking this trail. He was on His way to death. Let me ask you this morning, would you take that cross on yourself today if it meant literal death? I would hesitate, be honest with you. Am I willing to take that cross on my back this morning to bless my brother if it means I'm going to lose something? Matthew 10:38 says, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth not after Me is not worthy of Me." For whosoever, in verse 25 here he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for My sake shall find it." That doesn't make sense, does it? If I'm willing to give my life for the brotherhood, it looks like I'm going to lose it. And Jesus says, no. You give your life for the brotherhood, you're following Me. Your life is going to be spared. Even if it's to the death. We may die here. But it says you're gaining. You're gaining a life in the forever. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Am I willing to lose my friends for the sake of the cross? Am I willing to lose my family, my reputation, my job, my life for the sake of the cross? Carrying the cross is to give total surrender. Be willing to die in order to follow Jesus. Follow His commandments. That's not very popular today. We don't like to do it if it brings shame to us. We don't like to do it if it hurts, if it disgraces us. But He's asking each one of us to take that cross on us and to follow Him. Total surrender. Everything we've got. I really wanted to continue in these verses, but I believe we'll stop here. But just the whole idea of being imitators of God. Following after God. Being willing to take that cross and to lay down my wants, my desires, for the good of the brotherhood, because I love Jesus. That's a challenge for each one of us this morning. Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Lord, again, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for your example that you gave us. You're asking us, Father, to follow you, even if it means laying down our life. Thank you, Father, for this example, for doing what you did for us, that we can have eternal freedom. I just want to bless you this morning. Thank you again for looking down into our service here this morning. Father, you know every heart here this morning. You know each one of us inside out. Father, you know whether we're making a show. You know whether we're real. And I pray, Lord, this morning that we would be real. I pray that you would use us, Lord, as we leave here. That we would be lights. That our love would shine. That the world may see that we are your servants. That we're your people. Would you dismiss us now? In your name we pray. Amen.